We are back, and we are now talking with Greg Brown from Bradenton. How you doing down there, Greg?
Scott, I'm doing great. How are you doing up there?
It's Friday. We're feeling the vibes, and we're excited about the Pirates off to a pretty darn good start.
5-2 now. I wondered if you caught the game where you're on TV yesterday. I was thinking about you, Scott, because we were chuckling about we had a three-man booth yesterday at Leecom Park in Bradenton, Florida. We had two color analysts, John Wehner and Neil Walker, which is a real treat. We don't do that very often. We even had Neil down in the dugout for a couple of innings. But toward the beginning, when the Pirates had Justinson Garcia in the ballgame, Neil Walker asked John Wehner to pronounce the name. And John didn't know. He said, everybody knows his nickname's the password. And I should have said, when I talked to Scott at WNBA, he said we should call him Josh Nixon Garcia.
It's good enough, right?
Yeah. But but it was good enough. It was great to see him play. He played later in the game. He came in the second half for Jared Triolo. But they ended up winning the ball game, and they're now 5-2. They're looking good. There was excitement yesterday. Jake Mangum, one of the new additions to the team, played right field and had a first-inning double, showed off his speed, getting into second base with a double, scoring easily on the next batter's hit. He had made a great defensive play out in right field. O'Neill Cruz had a couple more hits, and the offense looks much better. And today we're on we're live streaming today on Pirates.com. They're back home, and Mitch Keller will pitch for the Pirates. And a former Pirate prospect, Shane Boz, who's now with the Orioles. They made a big blockbuster trade over the winter with the Tampa Bay Rays to get Shane Boz. Boz will pitch today, and Connor Griffin will be in the starting lineup for the Pirates. So I'm really looking forward to that matchup.
People still talking about him, indeed. And we saw the debut of Paul Skeens, and he had a couple strikes called back as balls. I did want to talk about that new rule change, the automated ball strike challenge, people calling it the robot umpires. What's your take so far? Is this going to be an improvement for baseball, or do you have any concerns?
It's interesting because I think it's different than it's going to be during the regular season. But right now, we're noticing a lot of challenges made in the first couple of innings of these games. And I think that is because early in spring training, starting players start, but then they get two or three at-bats, and then they get the rest of the game off. They just kind of ease these regular players into the starting lineup. And they also have a lot of players they want to take a look at, so they want other players to get opportunities to play. So the first few innings is when you're seeing most of the challenges. I mean, even in the first inning, we've seen two or three players challenge. Well, during the regular season, when the games actually matter, nobody's going to challenge a pitch in the very first inning unless it's obvious, or unless, you know, you've got the bases loaded and you're looking to score a run. You have two outs and the batter at the plate has a 3-ball, 2-strike count, and the umpire says strike three on a pitch that's kind of borderline on the outside corner. That might be one where you say, well, wait a minute. If I challenge and it gets overturned, not only do I draw a walk, but we score a run. But for the most part, the strategy is not really much involved in spring training. So I think the veteran players are just trying to get a feel for it. I think when all is said and done, it's going to be fun. It's going to be strategic, and it's going to matter. And you know, no more do you question if a batter gets real upset at an umpire for calling him out for strike three. Well, now he has an opportunity to say, you know, don't argue. If you really thought it was a ball, then challenge it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be pretty good for baseball.
I like Paul Skeens' quote after the game. He said, I'm okay with it so far, but ask me again in August.
That's a great point. I think that maybe most of the players would say that. That's very Skeens-like, that quote. And in fact, One of the players that we were down in Northport for our broadcast the other day, taking on the Atlanta Braves. I think it was the very first inning, and veteran first baseman Matt Olson challenged a pitch that was barely outside. It looked like it was called a strike, barely outside, but he challenged it. And, you know, as I said, in the first inning, you don't see this much, but it was Paul Skeens pitching. And he won the challenge by, I mean, a whisker. You could have put an index card between the baseball and the edge of the strike zone, it seemed. And so he got the call overturned in his favor, talking about Matt Olson. And he kind of looked at Skeens with this wry kind of smile, and Skeens looked back at him like, are you kidding me? You challenged that? And so I think you're right. When the regular season comes, I don't think that Paul Skeens will think too highly of it if somebody challenges a play like that.
And it's also impacting how we're watching the game, right? They're not going to be showing the strike zone initially, right? Because they don't want people watching that and be able to signal the manager or the players to challenge the call. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, there's a rule in place that you can't. In fact, you're not going to be able to see in real time,
right?
Near the dugouts. You're not going to be able to see in real time. Well, in the dugout, you don't see live baseball anyway because you're not allowed to, but. Even in the stands, you're not going to be able to actually see. I think the rule is going to be either you see a delay or they take the strike zone away.
Mm-hmm.
So it does impact how you watch the game. And to me, that's okay. Like, I don't know why we have to know for sure as viewers. I don't think that's fair to the umpires. You know, my gosh, that's a tough job. And we're seeing how tough it is. And we're seeing how good they are. If we needed any proof. But yeah, I like the way they're doing it. The rollout, we saw a little bit of it in spring training last year. They didn't do it during the regular season, but we got a chance to see what it would be like. They've been doing it in the minor leagues for 4 years or so, and from what I understand, I like this system. I like the challenge system. I like that they only get two challenges because again, then it becomes strategic.
Greg, this is our fourth and final segment, and I've enjoyed every second of it. And I did want to ask you about Andrew McCutchen, though, and your thoughts. Do you ever see him being brought back somehow in some fashion as a coach, as a player ambassador? Ben Cherington has said that he'll always be a Pirate. So anything, any hunches you have about Andrew McCutchen?
I really don't have a hunch, and I say never say never. I sure hope someday, some way, they reunite in some capacity. And I've been asked that a lot, and that's my feeling. You know, an aging superstar or an aging star in any sport is awfully tough to handle on both sides. It's tough for the athlete. It's tough for the team. What do you do? And the Pirates, the Steelers, the Penguins, other sports have had to deal with this issue. And you just hope it ends amicably. Right now, there seems to be a little bit of a rift. But you know, the Pirates, they want to win. And in order for them to win this year and reach the playoffs, they wanted to put the very best roster they could. And so they got and they signed a free agent in Marcell Ozuna, who's younger and has put up better numbers, honestly, than Andrew. And I love Andrew, and I hope somehow he does return because he's such a great ambassador for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I consider him a friend, and I hope it somehow works out down the road. Some way, somehow they get him back, either, as you say, an ambassador. I don't know, but I'd love to see him back in a Pirate uniform somehow.
And the final minute we have, you mentioned Ozuna, just 2 years removed from a fourth place finish in the MVP voting. Well, any early thoughts on him? How's he looking? How's the bat?
Yeah, just you look. It's early, but you just see what a professional hitter he is. The other day there was a runner at second base, I believe, but the first baseman was maybe first and third, and the right side of the infield was available, and so that's all you could. He was trying to do is just poke the ball to the right side of the infield and try and score that run, and he did. Certain hitters hunt RBIs. They want ribbies, and Marcell Ozuna is an RBI hunter, and they call him the Big Bear, but the bear is the guy that goes out and hunts for stakes and RBIs, and that's what he does.
Love it. All right, Greg, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Keep up the great work. Stay in touch.
Thank you so much, Scott.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your time. That was Greg Brown from Bradenton. Yeah, yeah. You excited about the Pirates? So far, so good. A lot of new players on the roster. And whether it's veterans and some good young talent, he mentioned Connor Griffin, the shortstop. Major League Baseball is gushing about this 19-year-old right now and what he's showing at the plate. So you'll be able to follow along with the action all year.